continue in our series today on who is the Holy Spirit. How many today say, I want everything that the Holy Spirit has for my life? Pastor, I want to experience that. Everybody here? Anybody here saying the Holy Spirit's just series is challenging me to open up and see the Holy Spirit in a different way? Many of you have been sharing with me as we've been talking about who the Holy Spirit really is. And we've done our best to look at Scripture, not just tell you this is what I feel or this is what I see, but we're looking at the best to say, what did Jesus Christ say about the Holy Spirit? How many think that's a pretty good author right there? All right, it's pretty good. We're going to look and see, what does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? We've heard a lot of other people talk about the Holy Spirit, but what does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? We talked about who is He, and we're learning to develop our relationship with our best friend, that the Holy Spirit can become a relationship that we know as our best friend, that He will lead and guide us into all truth, that He will lead us and guide us every day of our life if we'll learn to develop this relationship. We declared He is a person, and we can have that special relationship. And that if you hear somebody talking about who the Holy Spirit is, He's a part of the triune Godhead. And for us to say, I don't believe in the Holy Spirit, it's just as powerful to say, I don't believe in Jesus. It's just as powerful to say, I don't believe in God. Because we see that all three are separate, but yet all three one. In Scripture, yeah, the Holy Spirit is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What is His name? His name is God. Some people may want to call Him Bill, but we call Him God, right? Okay. If you missed that sermon, that's just another thing you missed. You can get online, listen. If you haven't got a chance to catch up on some of these sermons over the last few weeks, I highly recommend you get online, sign up for our podcast, and you can hear, go back in archives and see over the last few weeks and catch up on these sermons. These sermons are a little different than my usual style of teaching and preaching. Most of the time, I really like to teach in a way that really becomes life applicable to you, that we can apply it to our everyday life. But I believe it's important, as we have done that in the earlier sessions, as last week's sermon and this week's sermon, that we really just look at Scripture to really solidify what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, and that we really dissect it. And I don't want to just give you my opinion. I want to see, what does Scripture say? Let's read it together, and let's come to a conclusion together about what Jesus is saying about the Holy Spirit. We see in Scripture where there's three baptisms. How many know there's three baptisms in Scripture that's talked about? The first one is the baptism into the body of Christ. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 12:13. It says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Let's translate this Scripture and tell what it really means is this, that by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we have been baptized into the body of Christ. So this is what I want you to realize, that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you for a long time. If you are a Christian here today, it was the Holy Spirit that convicted you and convinced you that you needed the Savior, that you needed the work of the cross of Jesus. And when we are saved, according to Scripture, we see that the Holy Spirit's job is to baptize me into the body of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit baptizes me into Jesus. Isn't that cool? That you've already been dealing with the Holy Spirit. If you're saved today, the Holy Spirit has already baptized you into the body of Christ, into Jesus. Look what it says here about our second baptism, though. We know the baptism of water. Many of you have heard about the baptism of water and have experienced water baptism. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We know that water baptism is an important part of our Christian faith as a public declaration. We are saved upon baptism in the body of Christ. When you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, you are automatically saved, okay? We know that right there. We can go to heaven. But we also see where Jesus commanded of us to be baptized. It becomes a public profession of our faith. It becomes a public identification with the body of Christ. And so we are baptized into water. The third baptism I want to speak to you about today is one that maybe many of you have never heard of. That many of you've heard about it, but maybe didn't understand it, and I want to clarify it for you today. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that's the title of our sermon today. Does the Holy Spirit baptize? Does He baptize? And we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things I love about the gospel is how much it confirms to you and I what Scripture is really wanting to say. And we realize that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is considered what, the four gospels. They chronicle Jesus' life. And of course, Matthew, Mark, and Luke chronicle the last year of Jesus' ministry, from His early birth, and it skips right into His call into ministry, and His last year of Jesus' birth. The book of John chronicles more of the last 3 years of his life and has a little bit different teaching as far as pulling out some things that are not brought out in the other Gospels. But they all coincide with each other, and they all prove to us by the accounts that were given, the things that Jesus taught, the miracles that Jesus did, and the parables that he was wanting to show to you and I, and all of Jesus' life. But you realize in all the Scripture that there's only a certain, just a few things that actually can be found in all four Gospels. One is the birth of Jesus. The virgin birth, the account of the virgin birth can be found in all four Gospels. You can also find the crucifixion of Jesus in all four Gospels. You can also find that the death and resurrection of Jesus in all four Gospels. You know what else you can find in all four Gospels? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can find the baptism of the Holy Spirit in all four Gospels. And so if we see that these things we think of, those first things I mentioned are the cornerstone of our Christian faith, the birth, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, why do we miss out on the fourth thing here we find in all four Gospels, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let's look at them and confirm what the Gospels say about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11 says this, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I." This is John the Baptist talking. "Whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Last week we talked about how that when the upper room, when the Holy Spirit came down, it says that the cloven tongues of fire set upon each one of them. So this is confirmation. He says the Holy Spirit is going to come with Holy Spirit and fire. Let's look what it says. That's Matthew. What does Mark say about it? 1:8 says the same thing. "I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit." Talking about Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16 confirms it again. John answers, saying to all, "Indeed, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Look what John 1:33 says. "I did not know him, but he who has sent me to baptize with water said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." We know when John baptized Jesus, the Word of God says the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit descended from heaven like a dove and sat upon him. And that's when God spoke out and said, "This is my beloved Son, with him who I am well pleased." And so we see right here in all four Gospels, we see the Holy Spirit and the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, before Jesus, we see where the Holy Spirit would come and descend, but then go back up. We see where the Holy Spirit would come and descend upon prophets. He would come and move upon certain people. It would say the Holy Spirit would move upon them or descend upon them, and they would do great things for God as prophets, as men and women of the Lord being used of God. But here in this scripture is the first time we see where the Holy Spirit comes, it descends, and then we see that word remaining on him. This is very important because it's the first time in Scripture we see where the Holy Spirit comes to remain. And it's exciting for you and I because it's the truth of the New Testament gospel is this, that the Holy Spirit wants to come upon you and I and remain. He doesn't want the Holy Spirit to come and just to move us at a certain point in our life or just to come and to make us feel good in a certain service, but the Holy Spirit wants to come to dwell and to remain in my life. This is a very important key to realizing the importance of the Holy Spirit in my life. This new covenant is that the Holy Spirit wants to remain with me. Let's look at Jesus' last words in Luke 24:49. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, and you shall tarry." This word tarry means to wait. So he's saying you shall wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now, let me just talk to you about a misconception. Many people believe that one of the last things that Jesus told us, his last words, were to go. He says, "Go unto all nations, making disciples," right? All right. We just read that. And many people think that's the last command of Jesus, but really it's not. It's not. We see here in this scripture, and it continues over into Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. This is Jesus talking to them. He said, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart." Why would he say not to depart to Jerusalem? Because he'd already told them to go. See, he'd already told them to go. Go and spread the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. But he said, don't depart yet. Don't leave yet. But wait for what? The promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall what? Be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so this is the question we have, that we want to go. Man, we hear the gospel. I've been called to go. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And the question, have you waited to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because that's what he really told him to do first. He said, first, you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you go. Go and wait in Jerusalem. Allow the Holy Spirit to ascend upon you, and then you're going to go and be my witnesses. Then you're going to go and walk with the power that I'm giving you to be my witness. You see, many of us, we want to go out and we want to be this great witness for God, but have we allowed ourselves and waited on the Holy Spirit to baptize us? Let's continue to look at this baptism, Acts 2:37. I hope you're writing these down. I'm giving you a lot of references today because I want you to be able to look in Scripture and see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the meaning of the Holy Spirit, and see where you, if someone asks you, I don't believe the Holy Spirit is for today, or I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you plenty of Scripture today that you can go back and you can defend this and let them know that this is for today. This is for you. This is for me. It's for all of us today, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:37. So now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. What had happened? What had happened here, of course, the Holy Spirit had already came down. We talked about this last week, how he came and he set upon them as tongues of fire. And they were all speaking in different languages. And people from all around the world who were there in the city at the time said, hey, he's speaking my foreign language, and I know he doesn't know my language, but yet he's praising God in my language. And so they all came, and they wanted to know what was going on. They're like, what's happening here? Man, whatever it is, we want it. There was something about it. They knew that something was happening. And it was just beyond what Jesus had done. But now there was an outpouring being given, and they were prophesying in different languages the praises of our Lord. And they're like, what is this? What's going on? And how can we get it? Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, this is what he said to them. Repent. Everybody say repent. Repent. That's the first thing. Repent and let every one of you, what? Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The remissions of sins. So when we are what? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you, to your children, and to those who are all afar off, for as many as the Lord our God will call. Now we find this to be awesome because it just gives us a pattern. This is what Peter said. He says, you want this power? This is what happens. You repent, you get baptized, and then you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a pattern here that he was trying to set for our Christian walk, that they go hand in hand, that we need. Do we need salvation? Yes, we do. Does the Holy Spirit baptize us into the body of Christ? Yes, he does. At salvation, that's what happens. Do we need water baptism? Yes, we do. We need to be baptized in water, a public confession of our faith, symbolizing the old man being buried and the new man coming to life. And do we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes, we do. It says here that we shall receive these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to our next scripture here. Look what Acts chapter 8 says. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard Samaria had received the word of God. Now, let's just talk about this here. This is not the same story, okay? This is a totally different circumstance. This is a different day, a different place. This is not what had just happened in the upper room. This is a different part of the region. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had not received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who then, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized, what? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Then what? They laid hands on them, and they what? Received the Holy Spirit. They'd already been saved, but now they needed to receive the Holy Spirit. Let's look at it again. Acts chapter 19 tells us another story. Different place, different time. And that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And he, finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? That's what he asked them. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed in Jesus? And they said to him, I think this answer is the same answer that many of you can say to the churches you grew up in. We have not even much heard about whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And he said, into John's baptism. And so then Paul said, John indeed baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. That is Christ Jesus. When he heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. Isn't this awesome? We see Paul going there to this region. He's like, hey, so with what were you baptized? I'm like, we were baptized in Jesus. They're like, well, have you been baptized? Paul's like, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit as well? And their response was, what's the Holy Spirit? He was talking to the church here, okay? And I see this is really where a lot of us, I know in doing a series like this, that many of you have come to me and said, you know what? This is the first time I've ever heard that the Holy Spirit is still relevant today. I've always been told to stay away from the Holy Spirit or be careful of churches who talk about the Holy Spirit. And it's making it very clear. This is what Paul was doing right then. He's like, then what doctrine are you really studying? Really, that's what he was saying. He's saying, what are you really studying? You believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in the Holy Spirit? He's like, they go hand in hand. You can't believe in Jesus and not believe in the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. You must believe that they are one, and he just laid hands on them. And what happens? They received the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? They didn't believe, didn't know who he was. They received Jesus, and all of a sudden, they're receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've got to realize that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for me today. The Holy baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you today. That God is wanting us to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look what Acts chapter 19 says. We just read that. Let's look at 1 John 5, 7 and 8. For there are three that bear witnesses in heaven. Who is the people who we bear witness in heaven? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Who is the Word? It's Jesus. Scripture says that the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. Okay? Talking about Jesus. So when we see this word Word, he's talking about Jesus. So in heaven, who bears witness? The Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Right? Okay? This is pretty easy to understand. In heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all bear witness. But look what it says on earth. And on earth, there are three that also bear witness. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. What do those things represent? The Spirit represents the Holy Spirit. The water represents water baptism. And the blood represents Jesus Christ, his blood he shed on Calvary. Can we not see the pattern here? Is it not very clear that this is the pattern in Scripture that is set out for you and I that we receive Jesus? We are water baptized, and we also are baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's very clear. When I get saved, I am covered by the blood of Jesus. When I get saved, I am also water baptized. I'm bearing the old man. All things become new. And when I receive the Holy Spirit and baptized in the Holy Spirit, I become empowered to walk out this new Christian life that God has destined for me. So the question is this. Do I only have two baptisms, or do I have all three? Because many of us, we've lived our life with only two baptisms. Never heard about the third one, didn't realize the third one was important. Because we're really good about emphasizing the first two. And let me say this to you, if you have not been water baptized, then here in the near future, we're going to be doing a water baptismal service right after Easter. You'll be hearing more about it coming up in the next few weeks. We'll have a sign-up sheet for those who want to be water baptized. It's always an exciting time around here when we have our water baptism. We always baptize a lot of people, and we're excited about doing that. But today, have you been baptized in the body of Christ? Are you saved? Have you been baptized in water? Many of you have already been baptized in water. And I'll say, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Simple question. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And if not, why not? Why not? Why would we not want everything that God has for us? And let me say this to you. We do not have to be fearful of everything that God has for us. He has not given us a spirit of fear, and he has not given it out there. But this is what's happened. Because Satan knows the power of the church who walks in the power of the baptism, he has come and he's fought the church on this very issue. He's made the church scared to talk about the Holy Spirit. He's made the church afraid. He's allowed some extreme radicals to defer those and take away attention what really the Holy Spirit was for. And so we've got to say, you know what? I want to walk in the Holy Spirit. And I can't let somebody else stop me from walking in the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm missing out on what God has. And so if you've been saved and say, you know what? I've been saved, but I still struggle so much, Pastor. I just seem like I've been saved. And I know I'm saved. I know I'm in the right standing with God. But I just still struggle with my addiction in my life. I still struggle with certain things in my life all the time. And I just can't get past this point. And I just ask this question, are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? Because, see, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will take you over to the next level. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will give you the strength to break addiction in your life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that gives you strength to resist the sin in your life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that gives you the power to walk out and to be the witness that He's calling you and I to be. And we'll never, ever get there if we don't walk in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be afraid of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can embrace the baptism of the Holy Spirit and say, God, wow, that's all in Scripture, all the four Gospels. And it was poured out in several times in the New Testament. We see where they just prayed and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they were changed, and they walked new power in their life. It's the example that's laid out in Scripture. The last Scripture I'm going to read for you in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2, it says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers... This is a New Testament scripture referring to the Old Testament. Our fathers, look what it says. They were under a cloud, all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and to the sea. He's talking about the children of Israel. We talked about this last week, that when the cloud set upon Mount Sinai, what was that? It was a cloud by day and a fire by night, and it represented what? The power of the Holy Spirit. This is good. Now look at it. It says, our fathers were under the cloud, they what? Under the Holy Spirit. And they all passed through the sea. We know when the children of Israel crossed over the sea. Remember when the sea parted and they walked on the dry land. It's symbolizing a new life. Symbolizing they were leaving the bondage behind and going forth in pursuit of the promised land. It's the same thing that happens in water baptism. When we're water baptized, we're symbolizing the old man being buried and the new man coming forth. So our fathers, they were in the cloud. They were walking under the power of the Holy Spirit. They were walking through a symbol of water baptism. And they were all, what, baptized into Moses. And we know Moses in the Old Testament was a figure and a type of Jesus. When I say that, I mean this, that when God went to Moses, he said, I want you to go and I want you to deliver my people. I want you to go and set my people free. Remember that? That command he gave? And then we know in the New Testament, he sent his son Jesus to come and set us free from the slave of sin. To come and set us free from the punishment that we deserved. And Jesus Christ came to redeem us. He came to save us and to set us free. So we see the pattern already here. That our fathers, they walked under the Holy Spirit. And they passed through the sea, water baptism, and they were baptized into Jesus. Look what it says here in the next scripture in verse 6. Now these things became what? Our examples. We can learn, it's a pattern all through Scripture, that God has always ordained that you and I would walk in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Our musicians are coming this morning, and as they do, you know, one of the things that we see in Scripture, we're talking about Moses and the children of Israel, that God instructed Moses. He instructed Moses to set up the tabernacle. And remember, at this time in the Old Testament, that the Holy Spirit was confined to behind the veil. That the Holy Spirit was only allowed, and only the high priest who were called and who were sanctioned and who were clean could walk into the presence of the holies of holies. And only them and those people could actually walk in there. If you walked in, you were unclean, you were uncalled, what would happen? You'd fall over dead. I mean, it was powerful. They'd have people on a rope because if they hadn't had bells along the road, because if the bell stopped ringing, they'd pull you out by the rope because they were not going in to get you. That means you walked in and you were unclean and pop, you're dead, man. But the exciting thing was this, is we see now that we know in the New Testament that the veil's been broken and that you and I can now be inhabitants of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, that the Holy Spirit wants to descend upon my heart and your heart. But you notice on the tabernacle, he told Moses, he says, Moses, when you set the tabernacle up, on the first thing they do when they enter into the tabernacle, that they have to go to the place where the lamb's blood is being shed, and they had to shed the blood of the lamb. How many remember that was a foreshadowing of things to come? Because they celebrated the Passover where the lamb's blood was over the door. And those who had the lamb's blood over the door were saved. Of course, now we know our Jesus Christ, our Savior, came and died upon the cross, that you and I, by the Lamb of God, Scripture calls him the Lamb of God, when he shed his blood, that you and I can receive the forgiveness of sins. And he said, you first must come into the tabernacle of the Lord, and you must have the shedding of the lamb's blood first. And they went from that station, they went over to the lavender of water. They had this lavender of water, they had to go over there, and they had this ceremony to cleanse themselves. Wash their hands and wash themselves ceremonially, making themselves clean. What is that representation of? The water baptism, that's right. The water baptism, now that we are baptized, signifying that I've been made clean, that I've been redeemed, I've been set free. And then the third place they had to go, before they could go right up to the last place, they had to go and they had to have their head anointed with oil. And we know in Scripture where the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And this is the problem that many of us have here, is that we know this, and we walk in and we say, you know what, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And we have no problem accepting that. We're excited about that. And then we take the next step and say, yes, I want to be water baptized. And we have no problem with that at all. And we're water baptized. And we get up and we see the place about being anointed with the Holy Spirit. And we say, you know what, I don't think I want that. And we kind of walk around it. We try to walk ourselves around that place to get to the Holies of Holies. And let me tell you, you'll never fully understand and you'll never fully experience the place of the descending of the Holy Spirit in your life until you allow yourself to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It just won't happen. It just won't happen. And let me say this to you. We should have such excitement in our life as saying, I want to jump into everything the Holy Spirit has for my life. Summer's just around the corner. Spring break is here. Remember when you was a kid? And man, the first day you went swimming and you would hit that diving board, remember? You're like, no, 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 and you hit that diving board, spring off. I mean, that first dive in was like, yes, it's summer. I'm going to swim all summer. It's going to be awesome. It symbolized freedom for the school over here. Remember, man? It was like, yes. The anticipation of getting that pull for the first time. That's the same anticipation that you and I should have when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And say, God, I want to jump in and get everything you have for me. Yes, there's freedom in the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's freedom in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, there's freedom. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be scared. It's a gift given to the Lord, to me. The Holy Spirit baptizes me into Jesus. I've been water baptized. And now, Jesus, in return, wants to baptize me into the Holy Spirit. How many think that's a pretty awesome thing, that Jesus wants to baptize you into the Holy Spirit? Isn't that awesome? And so this is what we're going to do today. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I want to receive everything of the Holy Spirit that it has for me. I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit fresh and anew in my life. I want you just to stand where you're at today and say, Pastor, I'm just ready. I'm ready to receive. Maybe you're like me. And you received the baptism a long time ago, but today, you know what I'm saying? I want it fresh and anew. I want to be baptized fresh and anew in my life. I want the baptism to be fresh and anew in my life. This is what we're going to do. We're going to sing this song together in just a second, but first, it's going to be crowded, but I want you to join me in the front. Can you just take a step? It's just a symbolic thing. God, I'm ready to walk out and step into the new thing you have for me. If that's you, just press up to the front as close as you can get. It's just symbolic of saying, today, I'm ready to step out. I'm ready to walk into a new dimension. I'm ready to walk into everything the Holy Spirit has for my life. There you go. If you can just press in, kind of scoot over a little bit, guys, this way, and kind of make some room for those coming in. Just kind of scoot that way a little bit, guys, if you can. Thank you. I appreciate you coming in. Listen, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be concluding the series, and I'm going to be praying for you. But this morning, this is what I simply want you to do. I simply want you to just put your hands out like it's here. This is symbolic of a receiving position. Someone's going to hand you something, you just have your hands out like this. That's how we put our hands up. And I want you just to say this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, today I want to receive your Holy Spirit. Today, I want to receive the baptism of your Holy Spirit. Today, I want to receive everything you have for me. Hold nothing back from me. But God, pour your Spirit upon me. Like a little kid jumping into the pool for the first time. May I anticipate jumping into your Holy Spirit head first. God, today we pray that God, with our hands raised in a receiving position, that God, right now, we pray that your Holy Spirit begin to be poured out into our life. That God, you begin to baptize us fresh and anew. That God, you're pouring out your Holy Spirit into our life. That God, we'll lay aside all fear. That we'll lay aside and say, God, we want it fresh and anew in our life. That God, we want to walk in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. No longer to be afraid, but God, today we say, yes, we want this. Yes, God, we want to walk in the fullness of the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. So God, with our hands out as symbolic of receiving, God, we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit today. God, I just pray right now with our hands open, Father, I pray right now, may they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. May they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. God, just like a warm blanket, God, may your presence begin to feel them. God, just like a warm blanket, may they feel the Spirit of the living God rising up within them. May they begin to feel your Spirit, God, empowering them. Lord, you're taking them to a different level. Lord, you're taking us and empowering us to a different level. So, God, right now, I speak and say, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And, Father, right now, I speak it out. And may the breath of God begin to breathe upon us. And may the breath of God begin to renew us. And may the breath of God of your Holy Spirit breathe in our life today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive your Holy Spirit fresh and anew. And may you baptize us. Now, we're going to begin to sing this song. As we do, it simply says, this is the air I breathe. I'm desperate for you. Receive of the Holy Spirit. I'm breathing in the Holy Spirit as we sing this together.
This is the
desperate for you.
lost without you. Come on, sing that to me this morning. Oh, Lord, I'm lost without you, Lord.
I'm lost without you.
Come on, one more time, raise your hands and say, Father, I'm lost without you, Lord. Lord, we receive everything you want for us today, God. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, with our hands raised, Lord, that you are giving a fresh baptism. Lord, you are refreshing us, God. You are giving to us, God. Lord, you're pouring out your Spirit to those who want to receive. Father, right now, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit is poured out, God, fresh and anew in our lives. God, it begins to empower us, God, overflow in us, God. May you pour over us, God. May you pour over us, God. An outpouring of your Holy Spirit, God, that changes us. God, right now, Father, we receive it. God, we are hungry. We are desperate for more of you, Lord. Lord, we want your Holy Spirit, God. May it be poured out upon the flesh, Lord, of those who are wanting it today. God, we receive it, Father. We receive it. We receive it. Lord, we receive it, Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I believe today, Lord, that this is a new beginning in some people's lives. That God, there's a new beginning as they begin to say, every day when I get up, Father, I want you to baptize me. I want you to saturate me in your Holy Spirit. God, I want your Holy Spirit to baptize me every day. Lord, I want your Holy Spirit to saturate me, empowering me. It will change. I'm telling you, it will change the way you walk, you talk, you think, you act. It changes who we are, empowering us to be the people God's calling us to be. Let me tell you this. Next week, we're going to talk about what do we go from here? When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what do you do next? Why is that important that we receive it? And what are the benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit? How many think that's a good thing to know the benefits of what you got? How many would like to have a brand new car but can't understand anything about the benefits of that car? All right, next week, we're going to talk about the benefits of the Holy Spirit and where it fits to our life and how we can operate in it in a different way. And what are the gifts that come along with this new car? This is awesome, man. I'm telling you, every week it's going to build. You don't want to miss it. Every week we're going to build off of what the gifts are to follow the Holy Spirit. I can't wait to share it with you. I can just do it right now. I'm just about to say it. Just playing. We'll wait till next week. But today, listen, you walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You walk out here today and say, God, I want to be baptized. God, I'm receiving every day the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. Turn around, give somebody a hug or a high five, and say, man, it is great to be with you today. God bless you.